Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Ah, Dave Solomon, thank you so much. I'm always so tickled when I hear that voice because that means the beginning of the show. Yay! And we are all feeling so, at this point, so holiday festive. It's kind of early for some of us to be feeling that way, but we really do. There's something in the air. And I think it's because of all the deliriously fabulous music that is just infiltrating our ears in the best possible way. And one of those pieces of music, man, it's really grabbing me. I was listening to it all weekend, Swinging in the Snow, from our guest right now, the, and I rarely say this, the inimitable trumpeter, composer, bon vivant, and poster child for all things related to trumpet, Rick Braun. Rick, how are you?
I'm great, Trish. Thanks for having me on your show.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much. You have got some kind of schedule in December, don't you?
Well, it's kind of a tradition. I've been on a Christmas tour as long as I can remember. And, you know, it's good to be out. And this is the time of year when we spread as much Christmas cheer as we possibly can in the shortest period of time. So we're one city after another, and I'm saying we, it's myself and Peter White and Mindy Hebert, and we're out here doing our variety Christmas show and cheering people up, so it's fun.
Oh, it really, this particular year, for whatever reason, Rick, and you may have your own reasoning for thinking of it that way, but I just feel like people really need this kind of holiday cheer in this year of 2012, because we've lost a lot of people this year that weren't expected to go this early. And I think that we're looking at 2013, we're holding our breath and wishing so hard that things are just going to get wonderful. And I don't know how you feel. How are the crowds? Are they different? Are they more appreciative this year, do you think?
Well, I think it's been a really great turnout, you know, across the country. And we've been doing mostly the Northeast so far. And people have been really enthusiastic. And, you know, year after year, they've made it a part of their holiday celebration. And so many people come up to us and say, you know what, this is how we get in the mood for Christmas. This is the official start of our Christmas holiday season.
Wonderful.
Yeah, so it's really good. I mean, you're dead tired sometimes because we do have a crazy schedule, but
yep.
when we hear that from people, it just re-energizes us.
You know, here's a question I wanted to ask you, and of course you were on Cool Jazz Conversations with our mutual friend Joy Hall over a year ago.
I just saw Joy 2 days ago.
Yes.
In Annapolis at the Ram's Head.
Oh, of course. I know she was there, and I know that you are a subject of conversation frequently, not necessarily on our shows, but in private, because I know that she thinks the world of you, and I do too. And
you
are so welcome. How is it? I wanted to ask you this for the longest time. I'm a Jenkintown, PA girl, so you were up the road in Allentown. Yeah. That's right. And I'm a couple of years older than you. And Pennsylvania at the time that we were growing up was an interesting place to live. I love Pennsylvania. How is it that a guy from Allentown is able to make this kind of career in jazz? I know that your mother was instrumental in finding your course and the way to go. How did you get started in Allentown, PA?
Well, you know, I kind of, this might sound like a joke story, but it's true. I found my older brother's trumpet when I was 8 years old. I was going through a closet that I probably shouldn't have been going through, and found his trumpet in the back of it. And, you know, he had, you know, many years since moved out of the house, and, you know, he was much older than me. and left the trumpet behind, and I picked it up and put the mouthpiece in and got a sound out of the horn right away. And so I guess I was a closet trumpet player at first. And then I fell in love with the sound of the instrument, and I was fortunate enough to have an incredible teacher who taught me trumpet, music theory, everything I could possibly want to know about music. And from then I just continued on, and it was kind of, you know, from a very early age on, it was a focus and a path that I was on. And I was one of the few, but I was really lucky to have that focus and that direction, you know, for basically all of my life.
And you really took to the sound that Freddie Hubbard had with his trumpet, didn't you?
Well, I love Freddie Hubbard, and Freddie was so ridiculously talented and such a wonderful player, and was an inspiration to me. And I had a chance to meet him a couple times and, you know, hear him play in person, and he heard me play in person, and it was always an incredibly special time, you know, to have him there. And, there's others. I mean, Clifford Brown was a big influence on me, his mm-hmm. beautiful lyric style of playing. And, you know, Miles Davis, was a big influence as well. But, it's a nice sound, the sound of a trumpet, just a note. It's a warm and wonderful sound when it's in the right hands.
Oh, my gosh, there's nothing like it. And listening to you play trumpet with these holiday songs, for some reason, during this time of year, it's especially riveting. It brings back memories of childhood. I'm not just speaking for me. I speak for so many, because those were the kinds of songs that meant everything, whether they were light and fun holiday songs, or they were the more spiritual songs. The trumpet, when you hear it, is just almost overwhelming sometimes. Do you feel that when you're playing?
Well, I do feel like, you know, much more than a saxophone or, instrument like, well, let's just stick with saxophone. I mean, trumpet is that holiday sound. I mean, brass groups and, you know, the regalness of trumpet is such a big part of the Christmas holidays. And one of my favorite Christmas records is the Canadian Brass Christmas. And that's all brass, and it's just a beautiful sound. When I lived in Allentown, we used to have a brass group that would go from door to door a couple of days before Christmas, and we'd play Christmas carols outside of people's houses. And you know how cold it was, so they'd invite us in, and we'd have hot chocolate, and they'd have some, you know, brownies or whatever, and you'd have hot chocolate and go to the next house, and you'd get all warmed up and then go to the next couple houses play, and then as soon as you're getting ready to freeze, somebody else would invite you in, and you'd have some, you know, warm. So we would have a great time every year. So, yeah, you know, it's a long tradition of for me, playing Christmas music. I look forward to it every year.
And you know what? When you have the opportunity, I know that you're in Clearwater now, and you're heading to Jacksonville tomorrow, where you'll see Shannon West, a friend of ours, and she's mm-hmm. looking forward to. She made it a point to say on Facebook that she's coming to see you tomorrow. When you get a chance, yes, please do. Last night on the David Letterman show, there was this unbelievable band. He got to know about them when he was getting his Kennedy Center honors this past Sunday. And it's the President's Marine Corps Band. And they lit the Ed Sullivan Theater up last night. And, man, those trumpets were really doing a number on people. mm-hmm. Woo! You have to check that out.
Yeah, I had a friend who played in that band from Allentown. He was percussionist and a vibraphonist, and he was in that band for years.
Really?
And actually, his father was my one of my high school band directors, so I know about
gosh.
That band. It's pretty crazy. Yeah, pretty crazy.
Small world. Well, I wanted to make sure folks knew about this big soiree. Joy talked about it. And of course, you'll see Joy on the 31st, New Year's Eve. Tucson Jazz Society is having its annual soiree, and you're a big part of that.
Yeah, I'm hosting the New Year's Eve party there. It's at the JW Marriott Star Pass Resort in Tucson. It's in a beautiful area of Tucson, outside of town in the mountains, and you know, it's gorgeous fire pits and you know, and all this beautiful night scenery. And then of course there's the show. And this year I'm hosting, and then my musical guests are Richard Elliott and Peter White. And
wonderful.
It's going to be a lot of fun. There are tickets available, and you can come to my website, rickbraun.com. You can come to rickbraun.com, and that's where you'll find information about how to buy tickets and come and see the show.
Awesome. And one thing I wanted to touch on too, and I know that you're I know that rest is probably at a minimum for you while you're doing your road thing. I wanted to make sure folks knew this. You and I have a connection, and you probably know what the connection is, but I was looking at a pivotal year. I was looking at 1993 and your debut. That was around that time, 1993. I'm sorry. And my son was a year old at that time. Tiernan, we didn't know until he was about five or so when he was diagnosed with Asperger's syndrome. And now T is he's going to community college, and he's on the dean's list. Hello!
Fantastic. You must be so proud of him. You know? that's wonderful. Congratulations.
Yeah.
And I know exactly what you have gone through and what you are going through with him, because you know my daughter is autistic as well.
Yes.
And I know Asperger's syndrome is and it's interesting because they just took it. It's no longer classified as its own thing. It's now part of the autistic spectrum, which I thought it was always anyway. But that's a whole other sidetrack.
Yeah.
The point is, these kids, like my daughter and your son, you never know how things are going to unfold. It's like,
that's right.
And that's when I first found out Emma was autistic. The one question I always wanted to ask, well, how's she going to turn out? You know, how's it going to be? How far is she going to be able to go? Is she going to be able to be self-sufficient? Is she going to live with us the rest of our lives? And I think as a parent of a special needs child, you want your child to be as self-sufficient as possible. And I'm just so thrilled for you that your son is sounds like he's on his way. You know, he's on his way.
Well, you know what, Rick? Whatever the situation with our kids, and there's so many parents who can relate to this, and actually so many adults who are walking around who are not diagnosed, who never were.
Mm-hmm. I know. And if I was going to give any advice to a new parent, Emma was diagnosed when she was three, and we fought it for a short time because we were so shocked.
Yeah.
We just couldn't accept for a short time that Emma was possibly autistic. And then we did some research, and we discovered that, and this is probably the best advice I can give to a parent, if you have any chance of having your child, if there's any question, get that diagnosis early on, because services are available to you.
Yes.
That would not be available to you if you didn't have that diagnosis. So what I'm saying is that we still have, and I don't know if you have had, but we still get services that are provided by, you know, by the state for Emma, behaviorists to come in and help her, you know, acquire appropriate social skills to eventually be an independent person. So
absolutely.
If you're a parent and you're scared about it, and embrace it and find out all you can, get the services available, because it makes a huge difference.
It does, and you'll be greatly amused by this. At first, when I heard my friend Carol Goinden in PA, T and his friend Alex are best friends, and they went to school together, and they both have Asperger's. And Carol was one of those gals, born and raised in Philadelphia. She met Alan, who was from Mauritius, so he had a different way of looking at things. She was really tough, though, and she said to me one day, "You know what, Trish? You know what I've discovered? We're all autistic in our own way, aren't we?"
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure, absolutely. And these kids are so, I mean, Emma is so much more normal than so many people who I would call normal. And I admire so many qualities she has because there's no filter.
That's
There's no filter. I mean, what they think comes out of their mouth.
That's right.
And it's absolutely uncensored honesty. And you know what? It reduces the amount of gossip that goes on in our house of, like, he said, she said, oh, you know, this about this person. And so it keeps the atmosphere around our house a lot more positive, just having her there. She's a huge positive influence on our lives.
I completely understand that. And having been involved with the Lakota Sioux and Cherokee communities for a while, when some of those folks in my circle would meet T, they all said the same thing, which is that these children are anointed. And, Rick, I believe that. I really do.
Absolutely. I have lots of theories about this. But, Trish, I wanted to mention a couple of things about the new CD. It's relative to what we're talking about. First of all, it's called Swinging in the Snow. I'm singing and playing so many classic songs, and it's organic, meaning I hired real people to come in and play. I hired a real string section to come in. I hired a real big band, you know, made up of some of my dearest friends. And, of course, there's all the guest artists, Mindy Hebert, Peter White, Dave Cause, David Benoit, Jeffrey Osborne, Kurt Whalen, many and more. But the thing is, a couple things. $1 from every CD sold goes to the American Autism Society.
Great.
And also the show on New Year's Eve is a benefit for autism. So those are two important things. And the other thing that people need to know, there is a free EP on rickbraun.com of instrumental versions of songs from the Christmas CD. There's a 4-song free EP. And all you need to do is come to my website, rickbraun.com, and join the fan club. And we won't spam you, but you will receive 4 free tracks, instrumental versions that are not on the actual CD.
And may I say what a genius endeavor that was, because I did this. I joined the fan club, and I got those tracks. And, Rick, that's so awesome, because what you have is you've got 4 instrumental tracks, an EP of what you would hear in a different way from Swinging in the Snow, correct?
Exactly. I mean, on the actual album, I'm singing the main melodies. I'm doing a version of Baby It's Cold Outside with Mindy. And, you know, I'm singing a lot of those classics and then playing trumpet solos. And so it's a combination of both. But the EP is instrumental all the way through. So people can hear me just playing trumpet on that stuff. So,
well, I'm going to let you go, and I'm just going to say to folks, I will assume that you have Swinging in the Snow. If not, you have to get it. But further, you have to go to rickbraun.com and get these glorious instrumental tracks. You get 4 songs, and they're free, and that is wonderful, Rick. Thank you for your generosity in regard to that, and thank you for the Autism Society situation you have set up, too. God bless you.
Same to you, Trish, and take care of yourself, and thanks for having me on air. I appreciate you helping me spread the word.
Oh, absolutely, and have fun. You're going to be in New York on Saturday, are you not?
We already played New York.
You already played New York.
BB King's got this Saturday passed. We're finishing out Florida, and then we head to the West Coast, and we play in Downey. And by the way, anything you can do to spread the word about our Downey show in Los Angeles area on the 19th of December. It's our show, so there's no promoter. We're promoting it ourselves, and there are good tickets left. So if you could just help us spread the word and sell a couple more tickets.
I absolutely will. And tell my old stomping ground folks in Stuart, Florida, you're going to be there on the 15th. Send them some special love because they need it. That's just around Port St. Lucie and Jupiter, so you're going to have a blast there.
All right. I sure will, Trish. And
all right,
thanks
Rick.
Again.
Thank you.
Take care of yourself, okay?
You too. Thank you. Say hello to Emma.
Okay. I will.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye. Rick Braun, I'm telling you what, you have heard of some schedules. You do not know Rick Braun's schedule. It is crazier than anything that you could possibly imagine. I don't want to hear about anybody being tired because if you go to rickbraun.com, you'll see what he's experiencing. And we'll certainly make mention of that Downey, California gig. Let us delve into something, shall we? I just love Rick Braun singing, but I also love whatever he does instrumentally. And check this song out because this is one of your favorites, I know. I'll Be Home for Christmas on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Alfredo Rodriguez comes your way at the top of the next hour, by the way. from Trish Hennessy.
Ideas about how to begin. I mean, we
that
can.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
Just that you starting off.
I'll count it off a little bit, and anybody who wants to come in wherever it is, and we'll go through it twice, and then sit, and then go into it, just like we did.
Shouldered my axe and I tooted my horn. Went to
sun and you've grown corn. Old blue trees and a winter sea. Blue hat possum on the tall oak tree. Roast possum, nice and brown. Big potatoes all around. I'd say, yeah, old blue, you can have some too. Big dent in my backyard. Dug his grave with a silver spade. Lowered him down with a link of chain. Every link's got to call his name. Dear old, dear blue, you've been a good dog too. Now when I get to heaven, first thing I'll do. When I get to heaven, first thing I'll do. When I go home to heaven, first thing I'll do. Pull out my horn and call over blue. Till I say, here, old doggy. You good doggy.
Love to play that, and I never have played it on this show before, and it was real nice to be able to do that today, because, you know, some songs that aren't at all considered to be holiday songs just sound that way, especially when they're up against a few holiday songs. And we heard a couple from Rick Braun to start, and let us tell you once again, if you go to rickbraun.com, this is just genius. Four songs are done instrumentally that are yours for free if you join the fan club. These are songs that are on in a completely different way on Rick's album, which is just wonderful. His Christmas CD that he was just talking about when he was on the show with us mere moments ago, Swinging in the Snow. Got an all-star cast with him on that CD, but you get an EP of four free songs if you join the fan club. And thank you to Beach, our bride here from Southern California, making sure folks on her page knew about the Downey, California date for the Christmas event that happens every year. Peter White and Mindy Hebert and Rick Braun all get together and they do their thing, and it's just a beloved event, very much anticipated throughout the year. What you just heard was a gentleman that I have known about since the 80s, at least, Mark O'Connor on violin, and he was with James Taylor on vocals. Old Blue is the name of that song, and I play that for you today for a very special reason. Mark O'Connor has been playing the violin for a very long time. He has a folk tradition in the way he plays. He's had classical training, but he has appreciated the work of jazz for so long. He has transcended all genres. I'm not kidding. He has played with a myriad of people. Appalachian waltz, I got to see him debut this CD in Nashville with Yo-Yo Ma and Edgar Meyer. It was just amazing. And then in 2009, he got together with our Baltimore Symphony Orchestra leader, Marin Alsop, and did this beautiful Americana symphony that had people buzzing from coast to coast and actually all over the world. Well, it's not enough to tell you that on this particular 1989 CD, On the Mark, you'll hear James Taylor doing that one song, and with him is Eddie Bayers and Tom Rohde, John Jarvis, Jerry Douglas on dobro, and Edgar Meyer on double bass. But Mark has been touring in support of his album, An Appalachian Christmas. And he's going to be in our region. Actually, he's going to be in a few different regions, but he's going to be at the Strathmore in the next couple of days. If you have a chance to go see Mark O'Connor do his magic on violin with the people that are around him, he aligns himself only with the best. And on the CD, it is just crazy because different folks from different kinds of genres are on the CD. If you go to markoconnor.com, you'll get a secondary link that will take you, or you'll have to find it, to Mark O'Connor Christmas. You'll be able to see, because there's a lot of information on Mark, and there should be. He's been doing his thing for years, just a couple of years younger than me, and the body of work that he has done is just unsurpassed, truly. Old Blue, for you dog lovers out there, God bless you. I see Raven's in the chat room again. Matt's there. The return of Griselda Medina. Woohoo! Glad to see my sister friend back in action. That's awesome. I'll tell you what else is awesome. Alfredo Rodriguez. The story of this 26-year-old man is just crazy. And has lived more in those 26 years than most when they're 70. Much to do with the fact that his dad was beloved in Havana. Fredo was from Cuba and was in his dad's daily TV show, Band, since the age of 14. So there's been a lot of journeys since that time, and we're going to be hearing some and hearing some amazing songs from Sounds of Space. Beautiful keyboard work, you'll see. A lot of keyboards going to play into this show today, and this is not the case this time around because I'm going to play some Sonny Rollins for you. How about it? I wanted to hear him do his take on Winter Wonderland, and I think you want to hear it too. Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thank you.
Thank you. never let poor Rudolph join in any reindeer games. Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say, Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight? Then how the reindeer loved him as they shouted out with glee. Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer, you'll go down in history. Nose down, Rudy. Hang your nose and cry. You know Dasher and Prancer and Vixen, but what do you know about Rudolph and his nose? Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer had a very shiny nose, and if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows. Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say, Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight? Then how the reindeer loved him as they shouted out with glee. Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer, you'll go down in history.
Ella Fitzgerald, the one and only Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer, from Ella Wishes You a Swinging Christmas. Oh, orchestra from Frank Duvall, circa 1960 or so. She recorded that in the summer. And I don't know whose idea it was. That's pretty clever to put in a little excerpt from Hang Down Your Head, Tom Dooley. Instead, it was Hang Down Your Nose. That was funny. Ella Fitzgerald was something else. I just learned something about her in the past couple of days that I did not know. Ella was real receptive to music when she was a child. And one of the amazing things about her, when she just ascended as a star has almost never ascended in the world of music, is the fact that she was able to be heard every note. She knew how to extend notes. She knew melody so well. And she was so articulate. Her diction was perfect. And that didn't take away from any kind of truth that you heard, because sometimes things can be technically perfect, but you don't hear the ring of truth. And here's one of the reasons why. When she was a young girl, her mom brought home the Boswell sisters. And they were three sisters who were the talk of the day. And Ella adhered to Sister Connie. Connie had a particular way of singing, and Ella wanted to sing just like her. And it was just wild to learn about Connie, because there was something that happened in Connie's childhood that rendered her to a wheelchair. So Connie had this amazing ability to pick up instruments. She was a multi-instrumentalist, but she was a superior singer. And when you hear Connie sing, you can hear Ella. It's just wild how that happens when somebody is inspired by somebody else and they, like a sponge, pick up intonations and such and then make music and song their own. When you hear, and I posted something on Facebook from the Boswell sisters from 1932, you're going to be able to hear some of what Ella was drawn to that paved the way for her to become an enormous force in music. We heard, too, Benji Parecki, Little Drummer Boy. And let me just tell you that Benji Parecki at Blues Alley recently was unbelievable. He had almost everybody that was on his CD, I'll Be Home for Christmas. And what you heard was Little Drummer Boy. And on that particular track was Mark Prince as the Little Drummer Boy, one of my favorite drummers in existence, just amazing. Michael Bowie on bass, Brad Collins on saxophone, Marshall Keys was on this, Lori Williams, who you've come to know, Blues Webb, Tracy Hamlin, Kara Britz was on here, Brandon Combs, Brian Fox. All of these names have their roots in the Baltimore, D.C. area, and all are beloved. When you see some of these folks come together in a concert, a holiday concert like this that Benji did, he is not a big guy. I brought T with me, and he was checking out Benji. There is a picture of them on Facebook as well with Benji's beautiful wife, Kathleen. T could not believe what Benji was able to do on that Hammond organ. Oh, my God. It was just unreal. If you ever get a chance to see Benji Parecki, please do his thing. And if you go to his Facebook page or Benji Parecki, P-O-R-E-C-K-I.com, you'll learn more. Sonny Rollins we heard from, Did We Ever, Winter Wonderland, bonus track on the CD re-release from the standard Sonny Rollins on RCA back 1965 or so. Mickey Roker on drums. It was Herbie Hancock on piano. Bob Cranshaw on bass. Sonny Rollins on the tenor sax. Just a glorious rendition of Winter Wonderland. And Sonny, if you don't know this, turned 82 this year. And man, just savoring these legends, and you'll hear another one or two maybe in the coming hour. Not this hour coming up, because we've got a special guest, and we're going to delve into something right now by Alfredo Rodriguez, who can tell you a whole lot about legends. Legends. I feel like I've had a couple of drinks, and how they've influenced him. And as a matter of fact, his dad was a legend in Havana. And hopefully he'll talk about his dad and the influence that Senior Rodriguez, Alfredo, had on his work and on his music and how he fleshed out what has become his own sound. And who can tell you about that best but Quincy Jones, who took Alfredo under his wing and did something really magical. What an association they have. I'm going to play something for you right now that I think that you like. This is from Sounds of Space, the debut of Alfredo Rodriguez. This is called Sueño de Paseo on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. one of those songs from Sounds of Space that made me initially stop in my tracks, and it has not wavered. I've heard this album about 5 times, and that track speaks to me, and hopefully I'm pronouncing it correctly. With my 4 years of Spanish, I should know from Bishop McDevitt High School back in Philly, Sueño de Paseo from Sounds of Space, the amazing pianist, composer, arranger, and I dare say, when I think of Alfredo Rodriguez, I think of Forrest Gump in the movie, who said something along the lines of course he didn't say this, but Alfredo Rodriguez is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. Honestly, there is just so much layered music and so many influences on Sounds of Space. It's just amazing. And here he is. Alfredo, how are you?
Hello, Trish. How are you? Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much. I'm so privileged to have you. We didn't talk enough when you were on Cool Jazz Conversations so many months ago, and there's so much to delve into. How has life been for you in these past many months? What is going on with you?
Well, I've been playing and learning as always, and preparing a lot of new music. I'm composing the music for my next album, and I'm composing my... I don't remember if I told you last time when we spoke, but I've been composing my first pieces for the symphony, because I am going into the symphony world. So kind of preparing new music for, my new compositions, featuring the orchestra, the big orchestra. And also composing music for my next CD. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. And did you always want to move into the direction of symphonic work, Alfredo? Or was just this... Go ahead.
Well, yeah, since I started... 7 years old, performing classical music. When I discovered the symphonic world, I was very into all of the sounds, all of the instruments, and I didn't have how we say in English, when you have like the motivation, maybe is that the word?
Gotcha.
Because I was just very into like composing for the trio, or you know. But even in this CD, in Sounds of Space, the last song, it features like different instruments, you know, in the different format, which is called folk. It features like a bassoon and flute and oboe. So I always, you know, being very close to those kind of sounds and the strings and everything, was the classical word. So I wondered if I could go to start composing for the symphony. I'm very excited about this project, like me composing. I have a lot of music done already.
Well, you've got so much music inside of you. My son and I were listening this morning again to Sounds of Space, and you know, your classical training is so evident. You've really been exposed to so much different kinds of music. You know, you're in your mid-20s, and already you've got the sounds not only of your native country, but also bringing that to the States and then hearing the music here. That classical training, I don't think that ever goes away, does it?
No, definitely no. It depends on the person too. I am very close to the, you know, I don't see music as classical or Cuban or jazz or I don't know, any folkloric music. I just listen to the sounds that I like, and I choose those sounds because I like it. It's just easy like that, and I incorporate all of those sounds and experiences in my music. It's not just about classical music or jazz music. It's about the sounds. For me, it's more important. So that is what I do with my music. I have all of these. For example, you pick somebody like Thelonious Monk. I don't really care what is his style. I just care about his message. I just care about his way of playing, because in some play inside of me is something telling me that I love his playing. I love his way of expressing himself. So I just go and find everything that I can find from that person. And when we explore about classical music, it's the same that I've been experiences. You know, like from Maurice Ravel or Johann Sebastian Bach, it's the same. I just like the way that they compose, and I just try to inform myself as much as I can.
That's really something. And I'm so struck. I'm thinking about a couple of different things, because a little while ago I played Mark O'Connor, who is just so amazing on violin, and he's coming to our area in the next couple of days. And he started off. He was steeped in a folk tradition. He was steeped in the classical training. He and his mom were real close. And she was able to advance him as far as his ear and what his ear wanted to hear, or what she wanted him to hear. So he would always have that basis. And he certainly didn't dream that when he would play the violin, he would be involved with the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra and do an original piece called Americana with Marin Alsop, who was the conductor of our orchestra here in town. So, you know what? You are in such a catbird seat, because you're young and your vision is so all-encompassing. I can't even imagine what you're going to be like or what you'll be doing in the next 10 years, but it will mean a world of difference in students who are studying what real music is. Did you ever think of yourself being in a position where you could influence so many younger people?
Yes, definitely. I love to share what I know, because that is what I want coming from people too. I love them to share with me what they know, because that is the only way that we can keep learning every day. Everybody, in my opinion, everybody is so special, and everybody has something very honest and deep to say. So the only way that we can incorporate all of those learning and different things from everybody if we share what we do. And I really like to share in everything that I've learned since I was born. So in that way, it's very important for me, because I can learn from my experiences too. I can see myself from a different perspective when I am teaching. I don't like to use the word teaching. Maybe sharing is better. When I am sharing what I know, so definitely I've done several, you know, master classes when I go to places, and I've gone to a lot of universities, and I used to do that in Cuba too. When I was back in Cuba, I used to teach at the High School of Music, just classical music.
I didn't know that you were a teacher as well. Oh my gosh! Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, and then the other layer of what you are all about and what brings you to this particular place in the world as far as your music is concerned. Gosh, you started out very, very young, because were you not, your father had a daily TV show, and you were in the band for the TV show when you were 14?
Yes. Well, actually, I started when I was 6 in the Classical School of Music, but what you just mentioned, like my father having that TV program every day, was a completely different school, because it was a school that you had to do different kind of music, and you have to have this kind of respect every day for different styles of music and composing, arranging, and for different people every day. So it was a great, you know, like we call in Cuba, when you play the popular music, we call it music coming from the streets, you know, music coming from the streets. That means like popular music in Cuba. And that was like a TV show where a lot of people coming from classical world, they were people, but a lot of people coming from just, you know, the popular music, the folk music from Cuba. So it was a great experience.
Oh,
for
my
me,
gosh.
Definitely.
Yeah. I'll bet. And do you remember certain instances where you felt your heart race because you were so excited by what you heard or what you were involved in? There must have been so many. Who knows who would have popped up on that show? Anybody stand out to you even after all these years?
Yeah, for me it's very global. Everybody, not just, well, I don't know if I told you last time when we spoke, but for me, you know, this sounds like a little crazy, but music is not just coming from music. So for me, it's more about, I get excited about everything, I have to tell you. I just walk in the street and I get excited because I just see these, you know, I just hear these sounds from cars, for example. And I try to transform those sounds into music when I come here to my house and I start playing the piano, like if I were, like, you know, like hearing a car, listening to a car. You know, every car, like running. And I am just trying to make music from that, or for nature. I am very inspired by nature. So what I'm trying to say is, like, music is so, like, a global world for me. And definitely, I have experience from all of those people and all of those teachers, all of those musicians. But really, like things, you know, a couple of years ago, 3-4 years ago, I've been trying to discover more about different aspects of life in order to incorporate those experiences into my music. And I think the music means so much more for me than notes and harmony or contrapunt. Or, you know, everything. Since I've been discovering all of these experiences that we have around us, and sometimes we don't realize that everything is part of everything.
As I said, in not only the teaser for this show, but in public and private conversation, you are light years past what your age says you are. For you to be able to grasp that, because essentially what you just said is the butterfly effect. Even the smallest of situations, the smallest of circumstances or a decision affects so much. It's like a domino effect. So
definitely.
when you are able to say, well, it's not only about people that have influenced me, it's about sounds, you really do get that everything in the universe is truly connected. When did you realize that, Alfredo?
I don't know. I think the way of life, sometimes you go, I am very close to a lot of different things, not just music. I am very close to philosophy since I was very young. So I've been reading a lot about human beings, about how we react, about movements, about everything. For me, all is very related. For example, in Cuban music, in the Afro-Cuban part of the music, they see the music like not just as a musician. You know, they dance, they sing, they play, they do a lot of different things. So for them, it's very global. It's not like just you are a pianist, you are a sax player, you are a singer, you are a poet. No, for us, it's, you know, for them, the Afro-Cuban part of the culture is like more, you are what you want to do at that moment. So it's very improvisational, and that is what I like to express with my music, just who we are. And the best way that I found, in my opinion, to do that is improvisation. Because when we improvise, it's the same that we are doing right now. It's just like the tool that I have, which is my English, is not the best that I have. It's not the best, because definitely English is not the best tool that I have in order to express myself. But I am trying, which is important.
It's wonderful.
Which is good.
Listen,
so thank you.
Already, a woman who will not be named in our chat room. We've got quite the chat room today on Blog Talk Radio. When you started to speak, she said, "Oh my God, he sounds so sexy." So don't even worry. Don't even worry about your English. You know what, Alfredo? This is so weird. I had this exact same conversation with Jeff Antoniuk the other day, who is a regional legend here in the Baltimore, Washington area. He is a saxophonist who is not only beautiful on the saxophone, but also is a teacher and conducts workshops. And he has a special place in his heart for translating what he hears from the piano of Thelonious Monk to saxophone.
Mm-hmm.
So he just said almost word for word what you just said. What we are having right now is improvisation. Life is improvisation. It
yeah,
really
definitely.
Is.
We improvise all of the time. In order to keep living, we have to. It's not another way to make it. We have to improvise every time. We are improvising right now, and when we hang out, I will be, you know, I will keep improvising, and you will do it too, because it's the, you know, it's the law of life. So that is exactly what I like to do with my music. Just be myself. You know, this is a funny story, because sometimes people get to me when I go to concerts and they say, ah, your music sounds completely different than the last concert. And I just said, yeah, it should be in that way, because I am trying to improvise. And today I feel completely different than last day that you saw me. You know what I'm trying to say? So,
yes.
So obviously I'm going to sound different when I have different experience that day, when I have experienced different feelings, different occasion, different, I don't know. So, yeah, that is very, very, in my opinion, I keep learning every day when I am honest to myself and just improvise. Because I keep learning more. This is just a way that I found. I am saying that this is the best way to do it. This is what we should do. This is what we shouldn't do. This is what I will do, because that is the way that I found that keep me happy every day. So I have to do it in order to be happy. And that is what I like, to be happy. So I just try to be myself. And improvise is the best way to keep me living.
That's it's interesting. A little while ago, we had Rick Braun at the top of the hour. Rick Braun has done so much and enhanced the image of the trumpet so much in his experience in the contemporary jazz world. So he was with me for about 20 minutes at the top of the 1 o'clock hour. And before he had come to talk with us for that length of time, I happened to see that there was an Amazon.com write-up about Rick and an album that he did in which he changed. He went into Chet Baker mode, and instead of focusing on the trumpet only, he was focusing on his voice. And somebody had written something negative about that, and this person said, I like the old Rick Braun better. I want the old Rick Braun back. And I felt like I was talking to myself in the room saying, wait a minute, this was always Rick Braun. He's just showing you another side of him. That's so irritating, isn't it? Like, people expect you to be the same from piece
well,
to piece.
You know, that is a good, you know, it's opinions. Opinions. We all like to make opinions, which is possible, which is good too, because I don't know. Everybody is gonna speak. Somebody's gonna speak positive. Somebody's gonna speak negative. It's just like you do this because you love to do this and nothing else matter. You know, I do this music because I like it, and it's the only thing that I am happy. So somebody's gonna speak positive, somebody's gonna speak negative, but that is nothing. It's not important. You know, in my opinion, it's wrong. In my opinion, it's definitely wrong, because as I said, we always change. We are changing. The world is changing. How we are going to keep doing the same if the world is changing? You have, you know, you are incorporating different things to yourself every day. So you every day are changing. I speaking with you, I am changing right now. I just feel it. I am changing. It's a process. It's a process that is not going to stop. It's a non-stop process, because we are changing every moment. I am speaking with you, and you are giving me your opinion. So that opinion might affect myself, and that might affect who I am today. And I am, maybe in 5 minutes I am going to think in a different way, or I am going to start thinking about what you told me, and maybe I am going to start changing a little bit myself. So how you cannot change in 10 years, in 20,
yes,
in 30, in 40? Is the love life.
This is so wild, hearing you speak like this, and knowing the story of when you were at Montreux Jazz Festival, what, 2006 it was,
yeah.
And you made such an impression on the founder of Montreux Jazz that he asked you to come to his house. And I know that you were brought to the attention of Quincy Jones. I am pretty convinced now, after hearing you speak, Alfredo, that it was certainly a matter of you playing, and certainly Quincy got the word how fabulous you are on piano and how improvisational. But also, he had a chance to speak with you, too, didn't he? Because Quincy
yes.
would gravitate to what you are saying without question.
Yeah. Well, it's very... I don't know. Since the first moment we met, we have a really good connection, a really good chemistry. For some reason, there are some people that meant to be together, and I think we are really close since we met. So we might be one of those people that meant to be together, because we have a lot of things in common. And
yeah.
And for me to have the opportunity to be on his side and learning as much as I can is just like a bless. I just feel I had the, you know, one of the most wonderful opportunities in life to be close to a person that I admire so much, and that I can learn every day so much, not just about music, about everything. So yeah, I feel very honored to be very close to him.
Well, I certainly have delved into all of the tracks on Sounds of Space, but I wanted to make sure, because we played one already, and I wanted to make sure we played two more. But one of the songs I wanted to focus on, I just think this is so lovely that there is a song called Cubafrica.
Oh, yeah.
I just
yeah.
love the fact that such a song exists.
I composed that song when, like, first month when I came here to the United States in 2009, and it was kind of like, you know, I dedicated the song to Quincy, and I put the Q, like, with the Q instead of the C, speaking about Cuba and Africa, because are kind of the roots, you know, my deepest roots, and Quincy liked it a lot. So when I did the song, I didn't have a name, but Quincy, I was thinking, like just composing a song, and Quincy liked it a lot. So I decided to do the Q of Africa with the Q instead of the C, like mentioning like Quincy. Yeah.
That's wonderful. Well, I'm going to play it for folks who are not
right.
necessarily immersed in your music, which they will be most assuredly when they get to hear three tracks. I always make it a point to play three tracks. So here is the second from Sounds of Space, Alfredo Rodriguez, my guest today on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. This is Cubafrica. from Sounds of Space. Our guest is Alfredo Rodriguez, and that is Cubafrica. Woo! I just love that song. Some of the energy is so intense. And Alfredo, you know what? Sometimes, as I told my son this morning, and he really appreciated this because he was listening to April, and April is one of his favorite tracks on the CD. Mm-hmm. You go to this place. Oh, my gosh. Each track is so different. And some of it sounds like seasonal music to me. Some of it sounds like soundtrack music from a film, one of my favorite films. And then other pieces take these long and winding roads, and it's just like there's a finger beckoning you to go on this journey, and sometimes it's not necessarily a really happy journey.
Well, yeah, definitely. There, you know, my music is inspired by everything, you know, good things and bad things too. So definitely, bad experiences and good experiences. And it's very funny that you told me like that. You know, like speaking about the about film and everything, because the way that I see my improvisation and everything is just like, you know, like having ideas that I'm, you know, imagining, and you know, like images, for example, and trying to make music with the tool that I have, which is the piano, from those images. So. Yeah, it's very close to cinematic because that is what happened with cinematography. They just are looking, you know, visually to a lot of you know, different things, and they just try to make music from that. My music is very close to that at some point, improvisation, because that is what I do. You know, like for example, I speak with the, you know, when we go to concert or something, I have a new song and I speak with the musician. The musician who is sharing the stage with me. I what we do is like, you know, the backstage we speak about what is the meaning of the song, what is the message that we want to express with our concert. So for example, we speak about, you know, well, in this part, what I just want is like everybody trying to make water, which is something very important for me, like, and we just speak about water. I just tell them, let's try to make water from our instruments. So everybody's focused on making water. So, or everybody's focused on making air or trees or movement or dancing. I don't know. So we just speak these words or this message or these phrases, and we try to make music from that. So, yeah, that is the way that we make music.
No, I understand it, especially in what you said about film, because honestly, I've never said this before, but sometimes I see my life, different things that I do in a given day, sometimes I see them on film, what happens, and I can see that visual, and it actually helps to make me understand how important things are or not in the course of a day. What do I need to tend to? What can take a back seat? What do I need to propel forward? You would do so well in a scenario where ideas were given to you so that you could take that and run with it. I really do see you spending a lot of time on film. I think that's a gift, another gift that you have that is going to be explored. Do you get excited by that?
Yeah. I would love to do it because, as I say, it's very close to my improvisational opinion.
Yes.
So I would love to do it, and we'll see. We'll see what is the next step in order to make a music for a movie.
Yeah, the world is your oyster right now, and what do you see yourself doing, or are there concrete plans? I know that you talked about this symphonic work, which is really very exciting.
Yeah, that is what I am doing. But you know, Trish, I am a human being, like every, you know, most of the time thinking on the present. I don't really think in my future. It's just like, I don't know. Maybe
your
I'm
trip.
Weird, but I don't think in my future. I'm just living today as better as I can, as happy as I can, and sharing and learning as much as I can. The past, you know, was very important because I have all of this information, not just from me, from everybody that the past for me is that, you know, the information that you can have in order to make new things and create new things. But what really matters for me is today, because every day, every moment, I just see my life starting from zero. You know, that is the way that I like to see myself. And in that way, I don't have, you know, like something that I am saying, you know, I just want to go until this point. No, that is not the way that I see my life. I am just living today. And I am just coming from zero again. So I have to learn more. I have to incorporate more things to my knowledge in order to make it, you know, forward.
You are something. That's something I don't necessarily hear when I talk to artists, because they're sometimes falling all over themselves to make plans. And usually a question would be, what are you excited about doing? Since we only have a few more weeks until 2012 and 2013 is looming at us, you really are content to just know that the future will be taken care of. You really want to focus on what you can contribute to your day this day.
Yes, definitely. And in that way, sometimes you speak with people and they are, you know, they are just caring about so much, but they don't realize that the best way to make it more important for everybody is like taking care of you first. Because if you don't know what you want to do, it's going to be very difficult for you to know what people want to do or something like that. So in my opinion, it's like we have to study ourselves. We have to educate. We have to inform ourselves before in order to give the people what you want to give to the people. I don't know if you can understand this. It's kind of contradiction on my philosophy about life. But that is what I really feel. I think I have to be a little more like thinking about myself first, and in that way is the best way that I'm going to share with everybody. I don't know if you can understand, because it's a lot of people just say, you know what, I have to think in these people or that people, but that is not really the truth. The truth is like you have to be thinking first of you in order to share more with the people and in order to give them a message which is honest, and they are going to understand better once you give them that message, in my opinion.
Well, you know what? I do understand that, because what you're basically talking about is a sense of self-love. If you do not love yourself, you cannot love other people. And that love is not just in one singular sense. It's a way of being able to care for other people, a way of understanding other people. I absolutely see that. And then there's another camp that says you find yourself by losing yourself in other people. You find your sense of love when you help others before you help yourself. So I see it from two different points of view. And to be able to articulate that in a conversation that's essentially a jazz show is pretty cool.
Well, I think that is, you know, very important. You know, like just speaking ourselves about who we are, because sometimes we speak with people and we all are speaking about, you know, like the same, like everybody's speaking, and we should be able to speak about different things, like what we are doing, like just having a conversation. I think it's more interest for me, because I am learning. I'm learning more from you. You're learning more from me, because we have a conversation that speaks about everything, and at the same time we are speaking about who we are, which is, and we are speaking about jazz. I've been speaking with a lot of people that for them jazz is this, you know, jazz is everything is around. So why we are just going to speak about, you know, like certain styles or certain harmonies or certain, or just speaking about music, for my music, for example. No, that is not my way of seeing my life. You know, just coming here and speaking with you and, you know, just speaking about music, my music. No, that is not fair. I want to learn too.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful that you have you've incorporated so much else into your world and in your day-to-day interchanges with people that it's never superfluous for you. It's never a situation where you take anything for granted. That's what I pick up from you. You are able to see that almost nothing in life is by coincidence. Everything happens for a particular reason, and you either pay attention to that reason or you go forward, you know?
I like that. Yeah, definitely. I'm very close to that kind of thinking.
Yeah. God. Wow. So do you find musicians, for example, on Sounds of Space that share that with you, Alfredo? Do you?
That is what I always try to do, you know, finding people who are very close to this kind of thinking, this kind of analyzing situations, and this kind of philosophy, not just about music, again, about everything, because in
right.
that way we can speak each other if we are in the next scenario. Yes, definitely, I'm very, very, you know, very proud to be sharing a stage with people who are kind of in the same page that I am. So, people that are featured in the CD, some of the musicians, most of them are from Cuba, and some of them are one base is from Bulgaria, and the next CD is the same. You know, people from different. It will be people from different part of the world, and but people that I like to play with, not just because they're playing. There are a lot of people that play really good music. But I need to find people that are close to my way of thinking, because if it's not in that way, we are not going to have that energy, which is beyond music. And for me, that energy, that message is more important.
I completely understand that, especially in light of what you said earlier about, you know, getting together with the band and maybe focusing on water or dancing or light
yes.
images or whatever. If they don't get that, how could they possibly know or understand or appreciate where you're going in an improvisational
yes.
sense on stage?
Yes, it's true. It's true. But I am, as I told you, I am very happy with all the musicians that I share a stage with, because I really think that they are on the same page. So very happy and very fortunate to find people that, you know, kind of are related to the same that I am.
Mm. That's wonderful. And where you live, is it conducive to your way of thinking? Are you happy wherever you are, or do you find yourself itching to have roots someplace else, or does it matter to you?
Okay, can you repeat me that question? Because I couldn't hear you. Sorry about that.
Okay. Do you find yourself knowing the way that you think, and today is everything? Are you happy where you are geographically right now? Do you find yourself wishing you were someplace else?
No, definitely. Definitely. That is a really good question. I would love to speak about that. There are a lot of people that think that the place where you are is sometimes more important than what I'm going to say. The most important is finding the place where you are is inside of you. That is my opinion. So I am right now inside of Alfredo Rodriguez. So that is not that I am in Cuba or New York or Paris or China. You can be in those places and incorporate a lot of different cultures, a lot of different things that are going to help you or not help you. And I understand that part. But the most important is to know yourself. The most important is to be happy with yourself. And I think, in my humble opinion, that you can find that in every place of the world. Cuba, United States, Europe, Africa, you can find it, definitely. It's more about finding who you are, what you want to do, and go in that way. And I am completely sure that there are a lot of people trying to go to the same way that you are trying in every place of the world. It's just like there is a misunderstanding about people living in some places and saying, no, if you live in that place, you are this kind of person. If you live in Cuba, you are this. If you live in the United States, you are that. If you live in Europe, you are that. No, that is not true. That is generalizing, and I don't like to generalize because I know a lot of people living in different places doing great things and doing bad things in every place of the world because we are human beings, and that is the way of life. So for me, it's more about finding who you are. And with the technology that we have today, with the information that we have today, I think you pretty much can find that in a lot of places.
There is wisdom in that expression, bloom where you are planted, because people spend a whole lot of time in wishing that they were someplace else, or wishing they were someone else, or wishing they had other things, as opposed to realizing... And you know what I'm going to say. It's just the whole wish factor. If you had more knowledge of what you are and what you could be, you would be more content. There's an awful lot of people who are not content, and they don't have to be that way. All they have to do is look inward and realize what their place is in the universe.
Yes, definitely. And I want to incorporate to that in my opinion, every soul is taken. So why you are going to try to imitate this person or doing what this person do? No, everybody is special. Everybody is so special. Everybody has a really great way to live and a really good things to offer. So why, like, you know, taking a soul, which is already taken, because everyone, you know, like, yeah, it's that not doesn't make any sense. You can have, like, inspiration. You can have, you know, like influences. That is different because we have influences from everything. So obviously we have influences. And if we like something, if we like, you know, like, for example, speaking about music, you like this musician, of course you're going to have influences coming from that musician. But that is something, and, you know, like imitating, like repeating, that is nothing important. There are a lot of people that just trying to imitate, and there are a lot of people that say, for example, jazz music or Cuban music or whatever, you know, you have to, one thing is to know, and another thing is to repeat. So people confuse those things. For example, you have to know in order to play jazz music. For example, speaking about jazz, you have to know what Charlie Parker did, what Thelonious Monk, what Bob Powell, Lenny Tristano, and the list goes on. And in Cuban music, you have to know like Benny More, Bola de Nieve, Jose Guay. You have to know Ignacio Cervantes and a lot of people. In classical music, you have to know, you know, and that is so on. But something is to know, and different thing is to repeat or imitate what they did. Because we are living in a different time. Since we are living in a different time, we can create. There are a lot of people that I speak with them, and they say, no, everything is created. How you can say that everything is created? If we are creating every day, everybody's creating every day. We have this world of technology, which is changing every day. Every day we've been changing. So our music is changing. Everything is changing. The way that we speak, the way that we dress, the way that we, everything. So music, in my opinion, is changing too.
Oh, for sure. And it's going back to what you said earlier. Honestly, the best musicians that or artists, because there's a difference between being a musician and an artist. The best artists are those who, like you, want to be able to teach, want to be able to show what you've learned, are eager to pass a torch for the passion and the love of music. And this is why they have the Ring of Truth, people like you who are artists, because when you allow yourself and actually have the hunger in you to be able to pass the knowledge, you are saying, I want to be able to free all of these gifts inside of me, knowing that there's more coming in, knowing that you will be able to play and pick up the passion that I have, as opposed to many others who have a tight fist with their gift, not realizing that the fist needs to be unclenched and released to the world. You get that.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you so much. It's very nice to speak with you.
Very nice to speak with you. Folks in the chat room are really enjoying the interview, and here we are. We're like 50 minutes into it, so I'll play another track, and I'll ask you, is there any way that those of us on the East Coast or even on the West Coast, can we see you play? Is there any way that we can? Do you have any dates that you can give us?
Yeah, definitely. I just came from kind of the East part because I did a concert at the Kennedy Center with my trio. The end part of November, I was at the Kennedy Center with my trio. And also I was in Toronto at the Corner Hall in Canada with my trio. I am going to be back in Connecticut. I'm going to be back in New Hampshire in April. That is the next concert that I have in the East part. And in New York, I will be in May. Yeah, those are the concerts that I know for, you know, at this moment. How this works. Sometimes it's going to change. Like, somebody's going to call me and going to say, I'm going to go in March. But for now, I'm going in April and May to the East part of the country.
And actually, your website is alfredomusic.com, correct?
Yes, my website is alfredomusic.com.
And thank you for keeping that up to date. If you're going to be in New York in May, we will have some folks, including me, that will come to see you.
Oh, thank you. We'd love to meet you in person. I think it's going to be very, 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 very nice night because the reason I'm going is because I'm going to play as part of the Chick Corea Jazz Festival. Chick is doing like a jazz festival at the DC's Club at Lincoln Center.
Oh,
and I was very fortunate that he called me and he wants me a part of the festival. So I'm very excited about that. I'm very excited about that because we are going to do like a night of Chick Corea music. And also will be Marcus Roberts, the pianist, doing a piano solo set before. So I think it's going to be a very nice night.
Oh, my gosh. That's wonderful. You are, needless to say, on fire, and you will draw the people that are supposed to come to you in droves. You already gave us a clear indication of that. Chick Corea wants you to be at this Lincoln Center event in May. That's really awesome, Alfredo. Congratulations to you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I've been developing this great relationship with Chick since we did a concert in July this year, and we did like a duo piano, and since that moment, and also the video is in YouTube right now, so if
really?
You want to see a part, yeah, if you want to see a part, you just tag Alfredo Rodriguez and Chick Corea, and the video is gonna be there. And since that moment, we have developed this great relationship. And for me to be close with somebody that I admire so much, like Chick, you know, like emailing him and saying how inspired he is for me, like just to know him, you know, even like now that he's inviting me to, I don't know, like he playing a duo concert with me or like inviting me to his festival in New York, that is something like completely amazing. But just to know him and to have the ability to send up some of my music and to know that he listened to my music, that is, I don't know how to express it. It's something very amazing because I've been respecting and following his career since he started. So, yeah.
Well, I cannot pretend to know that I do know Chick Corea well at all, but I would suspect that you feel like family to him. There is definitely a connection. There is a vibe that is very, very familiar when he hears you, and I'm sure that he's very excited about the possibilities for you and what you have done so far in your life. So you can expect that relationship to blossom. That's wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You are welcome. God bless you, Alfredo. I'm so glad you had the time to chat. It's been wonderful, really.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me and to have this conversation with you. Amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. And, of course, I'm going to play Sounds of Space, the title track, and I definitely will see you. I'll be sure to check out alfredomusic.com to see if there are any more dates. But if you're going to be in New York in May, and especially with that kind of situation, I am there.
Thank you so much, Trish. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Alfredo. Have a wonderful day and tonight, and we'll see you soon.
You too. Thank you so
much. All right. Thank you. Bye-bye. Alfredo Rodriguez, oh my, such a pleasure to talk to someone so astute who is in their 20s. Not that age should have anything to do with it, but folks know, you folks in the chat room know what I'm talking about, because some of us are a little bit older. So to have that kind of wisdom coming forth from such a young man is hopeful, is beautiful, is almost indescribable. Alfredo Rodriguez, Sounds of Space, beautiful, on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. This is Hyper Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Call.
I have to tell you the truth. I've been skipping around today just because of the fact that I didn't know how long Rick Braun was going to spend with me or how long Alfredo was going to spend with me. So I had certain songs positioned for certain times for the course of the, you know, the show. And I was going to save that song, but I just had the biggest Jones to hear Michael McDonald that I could possibly tell you. And I don't know what it is with him when he has any kind of work with Brian Culbertson. They just mesh. And that song just about slays me. Woo! The hottest track, maybe almost, from Brian Culbertson's Soulful Christmas, Michael McDonald, and this beautiful, heartfelt song that probably makes more sense to play now than it did a few years ago when the CD came out, All Through the Christmas Night, written by Brian Culbertson and Mark Nelson. If they never wrote another song again, this would be it. Ugh, man. Brian on piano and trombone, Eric Marienthal on tenor and baritone sax, Wayne Bergeron on trumpet, Paul Jackson Jr. on guitar, Ricky Peterson on Hammond B3, Maurice Fitzgerald on bass, Oscar Seton Jr. on drums, the Jason White Ensemble, and God bless Lenny Castro on percussion. Woo! That song, I'm telling you, it's a good thing I have a crowd in the chat room and my son is right here, otherwise I'd be a bucket of tears. All Through the Christmas Night. Beautiful. Thank you, Brian, for that. Soulful Christmas is quite a tasty, tasty package, by the way. Mercy, that was nice. We also heard, speaking of nice, and I hope that Alfredo Rodriguez heard the segue from his song into Charles Mingus, The Gigi Train, which was part of the Mingus CD, but not the way that it normally goes. And I'll tell you why I say that. Gigi Train was a bonus track on a later reissue. What you want to do is get the 50th anniversary edition with the unedited tracks that were shortened on the original. A lot to take in, but if you like Charles Mingus at all and that particular work, the artwork on was done by an amazing artist, S. Neil Fujita. And you know it because it looks so modernistic. Just beautiful work, but you want to get a hold of that 50th anniversary package because it's got all the tracks in their unedited glory. On it, by the way, is Goodbye Pork Pie Hat. Lester Young had just passed away when Charles recorded this particular wonderful collection of music, and he's got little tribute songs to Duke Ellington on there, and also John Cassavetes, the amazing actor and director. They apparently had quite a relationship. So Charles Mingus following Alfredo Rodriguez, the title track of Sounds of Space, and I see that Alfredo has written a thank you to me on his page. He is just a trip. I'm exhausted, but in a good way. I never imagined that we would have had this conversation, honestly. That was quite an hour or close to an hour that went by. Whew, very nice stuff. And now I'm a little bit kaflamped as to where the hour should go because it's already 15 minutes past the hour. But I wanted to play this because it was Donald Byrd's birthday the other day. He turned 80. And lest you don't remember what was back in the day, in the 70s, the Blackbirds were created. The Howard University students who got together for this occasion, including Kevin Tony, made some kind of music. And the impact still goes marching on. Matter of fact, I'm not even sure how many hip-hop artists have sampled Rock Creek Park, but this is not the one I'm going to play for you. The Blackbirds, to be sure, this has gone back now to 1974. From Flying Start, the one with Walking in Rhythm, this is Funky Junkie on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Oh,
This is Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Debbie Poole, Baltimore-based. We love our Poole-vous, as she is affectionately known in the chat room. Debbie is not able to be with us in the chat room these days because she's got work to do during the day, but whenever she is able to come, we just love her around. Debbie Poole, who I've known for, wow, gosh, since 2005 now? Yeah, 2005. It is hard to believe. I am here for you from the CD In the Midst of Love. And her manager, Mr. Williams, can tell you more about that. There is a DebbiePoole.com website where you can go to purchase. And maybe if you are in the region, what you can do is you can go to see the aforementioned manager slash Beau when he does his thing for the Columbia Jazz Band and Columbia Concert Band Extravaganza coming up very soon. If you go to jazzband.com, you'll find out more. And the reason I bring this up to you is because this is going to be a benefit coming up on, this coming weekend, I believe, for the Howard County Food Bank. So it's one of those situations. Don't you love that during the holiday season when there are events where you can bring canned food items or new personal items or new toys or diapers, something like that? Well, this is what this is all about, jazzband.com. And you can go to Debbie Poole, POOLE.com, and find out a little bit more about Debbie. Website has to be fleshed out a little bit more. We'll get on that for 2013. Right, Matt? Right. I am here for you. Isn't that a nice sentiment? I love that. Just seems like one of those songs we needed to play during the holiday season. I love Debbie's voice. Michael Brecker and Randy Brecker, the Brecker brothers, with Steve Kahn. Right before that, the Christmas Waltz from Jazz to the World on Blue Note Records. One of those Jules Stein, Sammy Kahn classics that just go down so easy, don't they? Oh, my gosh. Just hard to believe that Michael Brecker is gone. And I love to tell the story that here we were, Randy and Michael and me, all growing up around the same time in the Abington / Cheltenham Township area in Montgomery County, and we had no clue that one another existed. Oh, man, that just burns me no end. It's I can get a hold of Randy, hopefully, one of these days. But Michael, what a talent. Oh, my God. On a multi-instrumentalist, but sax was his champion, his bread and butter. Beautiful. And in case you want to dip back, you probably heard me mention this before, too, but Michael and Randy did some work on songs that you have known and loved, including Todd Rundgren, Hello, It's Me, including some Zappa stuff from the late 70s, and a part of Parliament's Mothership Connection, too, by the way. So they had some forays into non-jazz endeavors, to be sure. And where I learned about Randy was he was part of the debut of Blood, Sweat, and Tears, one of the most awesome albums out there still, as child, as father to the man. If you want to get a hold of some real fusion stuff, rock and jazz and classical even, it's just delicious. Yeah, Christmas Waltz. And we heard, yes, we did, from the Blackbirds. Donald Byrd, producer, and formed in D.C. in 1973. Oh, God, I love it. Joe Hall on bass, Keith Kilgo on drums, Barney Perry on guitar, Alan Barnes on flute and sax, and Kevin Tony on piano. Just wonderful. Happy birthday, Donald Byrd. Happy 80th birthday to you. Get a hold of that golden chestnut, Flying Start with Walkin' in Rhythm from 1974, if you can get a hold of it. I think you can. But some great memories on there. It'll take you back in time, for sure. Let's take you more back in time. We've got a couple of songs to go before the top of the hour comes around. Thank you again to Alfredo Rodriguez for being so sweet, spending the better part of an hour with us, and Rick Braun at the top of the show for spending 20-plus minutes with us before he goes on to do his thing tonight in Clearwater, Florida, and then off to Jacksonville tomorrow, and Stuart, Florida, my old stomping grounds. I lived in Port St. Lucie for a while, so hello to everybody in Stuart. Love you. Miss you. Phew. Let's do some Dave Brubeck, shall we? It's just a little hard to believe that he's gone, but he is, and I'll bet you he's one of the brightest stars in heaven. I'll bet you. This is one of those songs that goes down so easy. Dave Brubeck's quartet. Santa Claus is Coming to Town. Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
I'm coming home, and it's been way too long. All those days and the nights will be gone. To see and hold you was my dream every night, for that day to come back to you. Words alone can't say how I feel right now. I've counted the days since I left. To see and hold you was my dream every night, for that day to come home. A thousand times, you're forever on my mind. I know when you're standing, and know it hurts. I can take all that pain away. I'm coming home. The nights will be gone. To see and hold you was my dream every night, for that day to come back to you. I'm coming home. Oh, how the kids have grown. Been so brave while daddy's been gone. And when they're fast asleep and the lights are low, the world stops a moment so I can stay. I love you.
You know what? I'll freely confess to you something here. The fact of the matter is, what you just heard was East Bay Soul from East Bay Soul 2.0. All right. Now I play that for a very special reason. Not only because I really do like the CD an awful lot, and for the fact that Greg Adams will be with me on Thursday. Yay! Two guests on Thursday, Demetrius Neighbors, who has a new Christmas CD out, and Greg Adams, who's coming to this region very, very soon with East Bay Soul. I'm dying. But I also love to hear Daryl Walker sing. Now, here's the situation. Daryl Walker is, how shall I put this delicately, a babe, okay? He sounds like that, and he is as adorable as Shiggity. So, this will be the first time I will have met Daryl Walker. And frankly, I'm a little scared for him. He's going to get hugged so hard. He's just a wonderful guy and a veteran. And he sings like that, and he's with East Bay Soul. So I don't know if maybe he'll pop up in conversation or on the phone on Thursday. We'll see. But Greg Adams and I think one of the other guys in East Bay Soul is going to be with him. So that'll be awesome. I believe that's at the top of the show. I'll have to check on that for sure, but I believe that's the case. So we're going to have another hybrid jazz from Trish Hennessy that'll rock your socks off. That is I'm Coming Home, As If You Didn't Know. And if you don't know, EBS will be at Yoshi's on the 19th, Spaghettini's on the 21st through the 22nd. They'll be coming here to Maryland on the 29th and wrapping up the year at Scholars in Boston. Woo-hoo! Have mercy, that's going to be some kind of show. So you'll be hearing all about that from Greg on Thursday. Woo! We also heard Dave Brubeck and his quartet, Paul Desmond on sax, Joe Morello on drums, and Gene Wright on bass. Santa Claus is Coming to Town. A couple of ways you can check that out. Jingle Bell Jazz, that's what you need to get. And you also need to get a Dave Brubeck Christmas. A little bit of different flavor on each, but you'll want it. You'll want to get everything from Dave Brubeck. Yes, you will. Just beautiful stuff. Oh, and we heard Cindy Bradley in between, and I leave her for last because not only is that song just lovely from Unscripted, which is fabulous, her inspirations, by the way, just as we heard from Rick Braun, Freddie Hubbard, big inspiration, Lee Morgan, Blue Mitchell, but Cindy, with all the background that she has had, I just want to say this because it's her birthday today, 35 years old. I think of her as a daughter or maybe a younger sister, whatever the situation is. I love her. And I hope, Dan, that you're going to treat her to a wonderful time tonight. You're not going to sit home and watch movies, okay? Take her out to a big show. Spoil her rotten. I know he's going to do this because Dan Cipriano is totally in love with Cindy Bradley. Everybody knows that. Cindy comes from a background where she really worked so hard. She was in Sugar and Jazz. These young kids involved in old-time jazz in Buffalo, New York. That's where she grew up, upstate New York. Then she got involved in a myriad of ways, including the conservatory in New England. So she was real centered in jazz and then the classics, and then she went to New York and busted her chops. And she was courageous as far as this is concerned because a woman on trumpet, come on now, she had a little bit of a rough road. And I've heard some comments through the years about some people that we all know who said something about Cindy, and I went, oh, isn't this telling? Cindy Bradley is much more than any smooth jazz moniker. Do you hear me? She is an amazing trumpetess, if you will. She plays great trumpet, and she also plays great flugelhorn, which you heard on Lifted. She is an amazing artist who wanted to get all different kinds of elements on Unscripted, bring them together. The straight-ahead stuff, she knows what to do. Contemporary stuff, no-brainer. Classical stuff, she knows how to do that. She has played every kind of genre there is, and I wanted to make sure she got this little tribute on her birthday because she is one of the consummate artists that I know. And how I know is it was cemented to me when you walk into the Capitol Jazz Fest in Columbia, Maryland, and you don't see the artist, but you hear them if you're very blessed, if they have the right notes and they have a sense of melody, you hear that music waft over the trees. I heard Cindy Bradley when I came into the Capitol Jazz Fest this past year, and I stopped in my tracks. And so did everybody else waiting in line to get in. These seasoned guys who didn't know who was on the roster, I heard the conversations back and forth. Who's that? And then it was my pleasure to say, Cindy Bradley. Oh, that's a woman doing that? Yeah, baby. It was just awesome. It was one of those crazy, delicious situations where I knew how much I love Cindy. I really do. She is a wonderful girl. woman, sorry. But got a few years on her, so maybe I can call her a girl. She's just so intuitive with that instrument, and she's going to be doing great things in 2013. Love it. Happy birthday, sweetie pie. You're a winner. And so is the cast and crew that will be here on Thursday. Greg Adams first, telling you all about another kind of trumpet break. And then Demetrius Neighbors, telling you all about a different kind of keyboard. We had Rick Braun, we had Alfredo Rodriguez here today, trumpet, piano again on Thursday. Thank you to everybody that was in the chat room today. The return of Griselda, which was wonderful. Thank you, Griselda, love you. Beach, my SoCal gal, Raven, Hannah, love you, sweet pie. Matt and Mr. Wright, and all the folks that were coming and going as guests. Thank you for making Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy so listen to. God bless you. We'll see you on Thursday. Be safe.